And so I understand this passage as being a son, how you would miss your son. And to me, this is just really a significant passage. I thought about this passage many times in my life and really appreciate the character of God. And I hope that you'll take a look at this with me this morning and see how good God really is. Look at Abraham, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 6. It says, "So Abraham believed God and was reckoned to him as righteousness. Therefore, be sure it is those who are of faith are sons of Abraham." That's you and me as Christians. "And the scripture foreseeing," when did he write this? When did he write in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, through the nation, all seed will be blessed? Well, that's probably about 4,500 years ago. And so God, at 4,500 years ago, writing to you and me, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel or the good news beforehand in Abraham, saying all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. So then those who are faith are blessed, and Abraham believer. Oh, Abraham was a great man with a great promise. So are Christians. And so how can we be like Abraham? How can we be like a son of Abraham? This is an important passage for people like you and me, Gentiles. I'm not Jewish, I'm too white, I'm too Caucasian. But success leaves clues. No man has ever had a successful life. He didn't just wake up and Abraham just wake up. Wow, what a son of, how faithful I was. No, success leaves clues. If you study a successful person's life, you really come out and say, hey, I know how they did it. I read the autobiography of Warren Buffett. Read all of his books. And he's got a book that actually he records his autobiography. It's the only one of all of his books that he actually is involved in. Everybody else just kind of makes outside perspective. But he actually put some input in it. And he calls it Snowball and the Business of Life. What he's saying is, in my life there's clues why I am the person that I am. And if you look at his history, in the yearbook in 1947... it says that he likes math and he will be a future stockbroker. At age 7, he borrowed a book, 1,000 Ways to Make $1,000. He got a paper route. In fact, you're going to like this, Donnie. In 1944, he got his first business expense. He was just a kid. He rode off his bike and his watch for his paper route. He lives in the house that he had built in 1950. He drives, he spends $3, I think it's $3.39 every day at McDonald's for lunch. What's your point? The point is, if you look at his life from the time he was born, how he lived, it's no wonder who he is today. And the same thing with Abraham. I really have 2 points with you this morning. I'm going to cut way down. One is, how did he become a son of Abraham? What are some of the things he could do? What is the application to you and me? You say, that's great. Well, I'm not like him. Oh, but you can be. Success leaves clues. How do we know how he lived? Right here. You always tell my kids, you don't have to be that smart. You just find successful people, you do what they do when they did it, and over a period of time, you become that person. You'll get the same result. How often? 100% of the time. But Gentiles, you say, what does that have to do with spiritual application? Everything. Sometimes I compare the church to people who have been raised in the church. Sometimes I compare the Jews to people who have been raised in the church. They've been doing this. Think about these new converts, these people that outside of Christ come in the body of Christ, and they haven't been in the church for 2,500 years. And so what have people of the church been doing for 25 years? They keep regurgitating what they've learned. And so imagine the Jews, they had an air of superiority. They kind of get up there and say, well, you know, you Gentiles, you're kind of lazy anyway. You probably don't even care for God, and you're probably going to go home and watch TV and not even study anyway. That's arrogance. And so that's kind of what the Jews would do to the Gentiles. But maybe the Gentiles aren't so lazy. Maybe there are some people that are grateful what God has done for them. And that's what this passage is saying is, you can be sons. That you have the benefit of Christ just like the Jews did. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful to be alive in that society? That we can be Abraham's children? That we can have the blessings of Abraham today? How? Because if we can't be his sons, if we have to be the inferior people, I'm not sure what the point is. 2 points. First point is, what faith looks like. And I'm going to have 4 passages to prove that. And then look at the benefit. I'm doing a lot of study and, you know, sometimes when I get up and make my, I think what a biblical view is, sometimes I challenge myself, if I can't prove it from the scripture, then I need to examine. Sometimes I'll spend hours examining one thing. Another man in history that did that, and his name is Alexander Campbell. We'll go to some of the conclusions he's came up with. One of the things that he said that I really like, may speaking to the Jewish audience, he doesn't really care about popular preachers. He doesn't care about your background or how many family generations. He says, speak where the Bible speaks and be silent as silent, and the rest say amen. What faith looks like. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, we have a picture of Abraham, if you will. You guys probably know this. If you're like me, the older you get, I need to... Ben says the great teacher is review. So I'm going to go and review this again. How many times have you read it? A couple. But I need to review. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, it says, these are the statutes in the... That's Deuteronomy. You knew I was going to do that to test you this morning, didn't you? Always follow people around, okay? Always follow... I have an open Bible because people make mistakes. Now the Lord said to Abraham, what did he say? Go forth from your country and from your relatives and your father's house to land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and those who curse you I will curse, and all the families of the earth will be blessed. So Abraham went forth as the Lord had spoken to him. And how old was he? Well, the scripture said he was 75. And he took, in verse 5, he took his wife and his nephew and all their possessions which they accumulated and the persons which they acquired in Haran. And they set out to land of Canaan, and they came to this land. What's your point? The point is that he left his comfort zone. He left everything that he'd known. Everything that made him comfortable. He left his background. He left his family. You know, think about it. And he had a lot of possessions. Somebody asked the other day, well, when are you going to move all your stuff to Arizona, Paul? Well, I'm probably not going to move everything. Why? There's too much stuff. I'll keep half of it there and half of it there, and so we can have more stuff in both places, right? And so the older you get, ask Ben if this is true. The older you get, the more stuff that you get. Okay? And he's not a spring chicken, and God says, you got a lot of stuff. You're a real rich man, because I made you rich. And I want you to get all your stuff, and I want to get out of here. He left his bank, he left his metropolitan area, he left his comfort zone, he left his comfort creatures, and he goes to Eastern Washington, and what's over there? Well, there's no Starbucks. Well, I'm not going to Eastern Washington. You're going, Abraham. Okay, you went, so I went. And he took all his stuff with him. One thing we look about, sometimes we have to leave our comfort zone to be like Abraham. Sometimes maybe it's a comfort of scriptures, maybe it's a comfort of our background, maybe it's a comfort of our past, maybe it's uncomfortableness of our family generations. But as the president says, the buck stops here. I don't care what the past did. What they've done, that's their business. What matters to me is what I do today. The past is over. Do everybody in your life a favor. Forget the past and start today. That's what Abraham did. And that's uncomfortable because we don't know what the future has. But God is not in your past. God is in your future. Look to him. And he will bless you also. Second point, I've got 4 of them. like I promised. In Genesis chapter 18, verse 19, God says something significant to him. For I have chosen him. Think about all the people that are probably millions of people. I don't know exactly. They said after probably millions of people. I don't know if there's a billion, probably several million. But he's looking around all these people, and he says, I had chosen him. Why? Why did you pick Abraham? That he may keep his command, his children, his household, after him to keep the way of the Lord. By doing righteousness and justice, the Lord may bring up Abraham, what he has spoken to him. Abraham, I know something about you. I know something about your character. That you can keep a covenant or a contract. When you make a covenant, a contract with people in your business situations, I already know the man that you are. I've already examined your life. I also know that you have this covenant, this contract with me, and that you're going to keep your part by raising a legacy. By raising the next generation. 4,500 years, we see that he's done that today. As Matt talked about in his class, the kingdom of God shall prevail, and the gates of hell will never prevail against it. What does that mean? That means God's kingdom's growing strong. I see you here this morning. But Abraham was able to raise a legacy. To keep that covenant, he was able to have discipline in raising his children. Why? And they became like him. And children of Abraham, like the father. Usually the fruit doesn't fall too far from the tree. That either good or bad or somewhere in between. What is the point? Abraham's fruit looks really good. And what did his children left? Well, they left a legacy. And he knew that he would leave a legacy. What is important is the generations to come, because we can't do anything about the past, but we can do something about the future. And every decision we make with our family affects the future. Don't expect we can't expect our kids to be faithful if we're not. I can't expect them to be consistent on the first day of the week if I'm not consistent on the first day of the week. Why? That's a lie. Do what I say, okay, or vice versa. Abraham did it. He said it, and he was consistent. Are we? Also in Genesis, the 22nd chapter, we see something about about his character. We know the story. And in verses 1 through 5, it says that it came about out of these things that God tested Abraham. He knew he was right kind. He tested him. He gave him a test. What did he do? And he said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. What does he mean? I'm available. You're available. You got flocks, and you got herds, and you got servants, and you've raised 300 in your own household, and you're teaching war. He's a rich, busy man. But one thing I appreciate about some people in life is although they may be busy and they've got character, usually the people that have the most character are the busiest. Why? Because you can always depend on them to do something. He was available. Here I am. What do you want me to do? Well, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him as a burnt offering. Notice what he says in verse 3. And he arose early. He got up early. I'm too busy. Let me do it, but I know that thing about raising my son. I know you really want me to do it, but how about tomorrow? Because tomorrow looks a whole lot better today, because that thing you really want me to do, I don't think I really want to do. He was not a procrastinator. When God called him, he went. Because procrastination really doesn't seem bad to me at all. In fact, it seems actually almost godly and convenient. It's not that I'm not going to do it. I'll just do it when. Well, when is today? When you get in that habit of procrastination, then you raise a generation of procrastinators. Abraham wasn't like that. He was available. And when God spoke, he got up. When? Now. He rose early. And also, notice what he says in verse 5. It's really significant. Stay here with the donkey, as he turned his head, and he said, lad, I will go over, and we will worship and return to you. Abraham's probably not 6 years old. He's probably late teens, early 20s. How old is Abraham? He's an old man. If an old man tells a 20-year-old kid to do something he doesn't want to do, first of all, that ain't happening. He may have some skill sets, and he may even practice some ground game, and he may be really good in jiu-jitsu and some different stuff, but I'll tell you what, that 20-year-old man can outpower that older man anytime he wants to. It says something about his family. First of all, the son, you want an elder qualification? Believing children. What does that mean? He believes in what his dad told him. And he's not a little baby. He's old enough to understand. Has he ever seen the resurrection before? Now, this is before the time of Jesus. Lazarus, we know him would resurrect. We know Jesus is able to resurrect. Has he ever seen somebody resurrected before? Nope. But what did he say? I'm going to offer him, but we're coming back. What does that mean? He might know exactly how he's going to do it, but he went. I'm coming back. He believed in the resurrection. Do you? Do you believe in the resurrection? You believe this is it? I had a birthday this week, and I had a friend of my work going, oh, Paul, you're just, he's a guy could come up to me. He says, Paul, he says, you're just something. He says, you're never going to get old and die. Pulled out my glasses. What'd you say, Sonny? Oh, you're right. I'm not going to die. I'm going to spend the eternity someplace. It just won't be here. I don't care how good you are or how good you think that you are. Abraham was quite a man. But he believed in the resurrection and the life after. This is great. He had some cool stuff while he was here, but life gets better. Do you believe in the resurrection? Convenient time. Alexander Campbell, as he came to this nation and he started studying baptism because people have been duping him his whole life. You know why people came to this country? Because they were tired of being duped by a bunch of people and a bunch of religions. They're called Puritans. And they're tired of having denomination shoved down their throat. Alexander Campbell was one of those. And then when he began to look at baptism, he said, you know what? I got wet as a child, but that's not baptism. And so what did they do? He went out and found a Baptist minister and dunked him the same day. That's hard as an older man. But he wasn't politically correct. When he saw what he was taught was false, he changed. When? The same day. Will you? That's always my question with some of my guys at work. Hey, I'll tell you something. I'll sit down and study with you. But the conversation is going to be here. And if I'm doing something, I'll change today. I'll leave today and I'll never come back. I promise you that. But then again, if the scripture says what it says, then what will you do with it? He was a visionary. My last point, what faith looks like. There's many other things. I just picked out a couple key ones because I thought they were cool for me. There's application to me. And at Hebrews, as we're going back, we're looking 2,500 years later, okay? Looking back on his life, and we have the roll call of the faithful. Well, what it says, and by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed. Huh, that's funny. He was to receive for an inheritance, he would not know it, nor where he was going. But he trusted God. Do you trust God? Do you trust God in the forgiveness of your sins, or do you keep looking back at your past saying, no, I wonder, you're not faithful. When God says you touch the blood of Christ, everything you've done before that is gone. That's what Abraham saw. And by faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. In other words, his family, legacy. They understand the same promise. I wonder what they talked about. They didn't talk about the weather. It might have got depressing in the wilderness. I'm not sure, but I'll tell you what they talked about, the generations to come. That's what successful people. Unsuccessful people, I was telling this at family functions. Unsuccessful people talk about others. You know what successful people talk about? I don't want to talk about other people unless I have something nice to say. I'm going to try to zip my lip. But what I want to talk about this family function, I want to talk about the future. That's what I want to talk about. What did Abraham talk about? That's what he talked about. How do you know? Dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, they got an earful. Fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which was architect and builder and God. Wow. He was a visionary. I thought that was a great class today in Luke there, Matt. As they're at the RLD, I've been to the RLD before, and I've seen guys pull out guns in front of each other right in broad daylight. Boom! That's what happens to the RLD. And you're walking down the RLD, and guys are saying, you want some? Want some? Want some? What? Whatever money can buy. You think Vegas was bad. Check out the RLD. Vegas is... that's where a bunch of Puritans hang out compared to the RLD. Okay? And so they're walking around the RLD, as Matt talked about, and they got all this stuff, and Peter looks at it and says, I believe that you're the Christ. In this ungodly, forsaken place that you wouldn't even want to go to. And somebody told me, a Christian said they would never go to Vegas. Why wouldn't you go to Vegas? Man, it's so ungodly. Yeah. Well, who do you think needs the shoes? The people who aren't wearing them, the ones that do. Who do you think needs God? The people that haven't seen God or the people that know God? And Peter makes the claim that you're the Christ. And Jesus said to him, that is well said, Peter, because my kingdom will always prevail. But do we see it? The daily decisions that we make today affect our tomorrow. This was some 4,500 years ago. We're looking at one man. The one man probably thought, well, who am I? I'm just a man. Alexander Campbell had 8 kids. First one he had was a girl. People ask him if he's going to baptize his daughter, and he started looking at the scripture and go, wow, 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 wow. And all the people that lived in the country thought you ought to get they call it baptism. Baptism actually means immersion. If you're immersed in a child, you're going to drown him, you're going to go to prison. You can't baptize a kid, okay? You can rantize them, you can sprinkle them, but you don't want to bury him in water because you're going to drown him. So he began to look at the scriptures, and he said, you know what? The scriptures don't support that, and I'm not going to do that. How do you think his family felt, all these denominational preachers? And says, in fact, I'll do you one better. My baptism doesn't count because it wasn't baptism anyway. And the same day, he went out there and got immersed. He also, when he married, your marriage affects your destiny. Who you marry matters. That's why the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. You got to be with someone that has the same vision that you do. For what? Faith, your family, your finances. You guys have to be in agreement with about 3 things for you to have a successful life. He married a daughter of a wealthy man. What does that mean? You can go to his house today. He had a lot of real estate, which allowed him to buy a printing press. Ah, here's where it gets good. He has a vision for all this. From the time he was born, he died at age 78 with over 200,000 followers. What does that mean? One family made a difference. His marriage made a difference. Who he married matters. Because you're probably going to be just like your mate. I always tell my kid, you won't have a successful life unless you marry the right person. Now, if you get people on the same pattern, if you get on the same page, absolutely, you can't stop them. 2 oxen together, you know what that pulls? 1 oxen, you know what that can pull? 2 oxen can pull 4 times more what 2 oxen can pull, okay? What does that mean? You got 8 times the power over 1 person. But you got to marry, because if you're going this way and the oxen's going this way, it ain't going to work. But if you guys are on the same path, heaven help the world, they're going to see what it's really like. Second point, my last point I'd like to make it with you. You say, Paul, you're talking about a lot of hard things, I know. But Abraham was different. He was sanctified. His marriage and his life and his family set him apart from all the other millions of people. And so will yours. Great character is rewarded. In Matthew, the 8th chapter, Jesus says the same thing. Look at verse 9. This man comes to him, a centurion, he's a soldier. He says, I'm a man under authority with soldiers under me. I say to this one, go, and he goes. And then another, come, and he goes. And you say, do this, and you do this. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who are following, truly I say to you, I have not such great faith in anyone in Israel. Is he a Christian? Nope. He's a stinking Gentile. But God noticed something different about him that he's rewarded. He notices this. Somebody asked me the other day, he notices that he's different. Okay? Jesus has, he's a centurion. He's in charge of 100 people. He has great faith. He may not know what the Jews are in, but he's faithful in what he knows. Okay? And God notices that. And someone said to me to do a series on elder qualifications. Okay, I'll give it to you in 30 seconds. Check out their credit score. I've never seen a flake in my whole life with a high credit score. It doesn't happen. This is an 850 guy. Abraham is an 850 guy. All the guys, the centurions, they can be trusted with Queen Candace's money. What are they? They're 850 guys. What does that mean? You can trust them. When they say they're going to do something, they do it. How often? 100% of the time. They're not flakes. And the Bible says, if a guy doesn't even manage his own life, if he can't even manage his own household, are you sure you want him run the church? First of all, what kind of character does he have? Can he be trusted? You say, that doesn't make him spiritual, Paul. No. But go ask their wife and their kids how they are. Go ask them and say, hey, is your husband, is he qualified? What's your response? Well, I'll take that as a no. Okay? And ask the kids, well, how's daddy? Does daddy always do what he says he's going to do? Is he that type of person? Does he, you know, are these qualifications? You say, well, I don't know. They don't know the answer. They're too young. Well, then they're too young to be believing children, then, aren't they? My point is, in the scriptures, as I understand it, Acts 10 chapter, check me out, man, he's not converted yet, God gives him the gospel for the first time to the Gentiles. Why? Because of his character. And God knows when you get this great vessel, this wonderful piece of information, that you're going to apply it, and you're already that man, and I'm going to make you a spiritual man that makes you more consistent. He's at home with God. God has already made that. Great character is rewarded. When? In this life and the life to come. You'll be trusted. You may not always be liked. I think it was a preacher from Bremerton told me, he was a meat cutter. He says, you know what? He said, you might not always like. He says, but the boss wants you to watch the money. Yeah. Second point. He lived a full life. Luke, the 16th chapter. We have the rich man, the Lazarus, and we have Abraham, and he's in Abraham, and he's in paradise, if you will. Notice, he's worked all his life. He's in paradise. How is paradise? Paradise is pretty wonderful. How do you know that? That's the definition, okay? Go to Bali, okay? Go to Hawaii. That's just a picture or a glimpse. It's wonderful, but it's just a picture, a glimpse. This is better. I'll turn over there quickly. He lived a full life, and what happens after a full life? Well, he probably needs some rest. He's probably been getting after pretty hard, raising his family, doing the things that God wanted him to do, okay? If you want something to do, I don't know if I got this from Ben or something else, I'll only steal the good stuff, Ben. If you want something to do, find a busy man. Why? Because he'll get it done. Abraham, he's busy. What do busy men need sometimes? Well, sometimes they need rest, just like everybody else. Now the poor man died and was carried away. And he cried, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to me. Dip the tongue of his finger in water, for I'm in agony with this time. You have another rich man, but this other rich man didn't live a rich life. He was greedy. He was self-centered. He wasn't a giver. But Abraham's in rest. But Abraham said to him, "Child, remember that in your life you received your good things. You got what you reap what you sowed. And likewise, Lazarus, he's comforted here." In other words, if you're spiritual, if you're godly, your reward is coming. Besides, there's a gulf. And he wants him to speak to his... the rich man wants him to speak to his brothers, okay? Abraham, just somebody send a prophet and talk to my brothers, and because this place is horrible, and I don't want them to come here. The second you die, you'll be in one or two places. You'll either be in comfort, or you're going to wish you were never born. God wants you to spend eternity with him. And the rich man is in such torment, he says, "Please do something." And Abraham said to him, verse 29, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear." What he's saying is, you have the word of God. They have the word of God. They have the, in John chapter 12, verse 48, Jesus, the word of God is the judge. It's a standard. But he wants more. No, Father. If someone goes from the dead, they will repent then. They need a little bit more than the word of God. But he said, if they don't listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be persuaded, even if someone rises from the dead. You know, that really scripture really scares me a little bit. That rich man probably thought he had a lot of time left. There was a Nordstrom billionaire, younger than me, thought he was going to live forever. What happened? He died. A lot of people I work with think they're going to live forever. There was a guy there that I assume was probably a multimillionaire. And he thought he was going to go to retirement. He just had a couple more shifts to go. Just a couple more, and then I'm going to go to the Rose Bowl, and then I'm going to start living life, and life is going to get good. Then! What does that mean? All of us have a small window of time. We think that we've got it figured out, but we don't. We have a window of time. What will that do for you? You live a full life, you get rest. Ah, rest sounds good, doesn't it? Little R&R, you're gone for a month. Little R&R, you probably need a little bit more. Yeah, but he's got his for eternity. It doesn't change. That's the bad thing about retirement. You can never take a day off. He's in eternal bliss. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. They don't understand. The Jews or people question Jesus. And he says to them, he corrects them, "You don't understand. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living." Jesus says, "I came to give life, but I not only came to give life, but I came to give life abundantly." What's your point? The point is, what Jesus has to offer, even though sometimes we may not hear it, is much better than without him. I guess if I could say something to the youth, it would be, you really don't know what you're missing. Being on both sides, this is far better. Paul says it's far better, and he knows why, because he's been there. Everybody else is speaking by faith. But Paul says, let me tell you, it's much better. It's abundant life. It's better life. Life is better. Possibilities. Serve God when you're young. And as you get older, I told somebody this. Paul, how do you like getting older?
Love it.
The 50s have been my best years by far ever. Why? Because I finally get to do what I want to do. Finally. I don't have a boss anymore telling me what to do. Love it. I don't have to go to school anymore. Don't have to do anything I don't want to. Love it. And Jesus says, I want to make that your reality forever. Isn't that wonderful? I want to give you freedom forever. I want you to live in that life forever. Make it better than you can even imagine. It's a better life. Back to our text, and I'm closing. For all you who are sons of God through Christ and face Jesus, for all of you who are baptized in Christ, clothe yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. That'd be important for a Greek. Slave nor free man. Imagine being a slave. You raised your whole life as a slave and people doing this to you. You're nothing but a piece of garbage. Not in Christ. Male nor female. Females were looked down. You're a piece of property. Not anymore. I'm just as good as my husband. In fact, if he's a non-believer and I'm a believer, I'm better than my husband. Amen, sister. For y'all, you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants according to the promise. Wow. The Holy Spirit rests his case. Alexander Campbell had a 12-hour debate with a guy on atheism. And he was declared a winner by a long shot. And after the debate was over, he went over to his tent and said, I know that you believe that there's a God. There's just too much evidence and you have too much education to believe otherwise. And the guy had tears in his eyes. But he did nothing about it. Why? Because of pride. Because he didn't want to admit that he was wrong, that he couldn't save himself. What about you? Why are you waiting? Apostle Paul told, why are you waiting? What's your excuse? What are you waiting on? You know better. He knew better too. But I'm not gonna not do it. I'll just put it off for a more convenient time. That's what Felix is, a more convenient time. And he was in prison for 2 years. And what happened? He did nothing. What about you? Will you do nothing? Or will you become a child of God and live the abundant life today? Lesson is yours. You can be children of Abraham and enjoy the abundant life, or you can be, it's a better life. God says it, and I believe it. In hope of eternal life, which God promised long ago. He promised it, and he delivers his promise how often? 100% of the time. And as someone's lost, it's not because God wanted them lost. God wanted them to save and become sons and children and family. That's what he wants. It's because they wanted something different. Love you. You have to come to God on his terms. I hope that you see being sons of Abraham. It's just a wonderful life. It's a better life. If we can help you with your walk at all, why don't you let it be known we stand singing songs and selected this time.